dictator of the ball or one particular phase and take it over and then ignore the other two phases. You know, there are coaches that make sense for. I mean, guys that were, you know, offensive coordinators their whole career and that's what they know, or they were quarterback coaches their whole career and they're going to take the quarterback, and it makes sense for those guys and that's what they're going to do and that's how they're going to do it. But that's just not my background. You know, my background has been, I've coached in all three phases, you know, for over 30 years of coaching, you know, mostly in the NFL on special teams or a little bit on defense and even on offense in college. So, you know, I feel like that's kind of the way that that was the path that God gave me, and that's the one I'm going to use.
You talked a little about Matt Elam earlier. Do you think, are you happy with him at free safety, or do you think going down the road it might be better off to move him to, you know, strong?
Well, you know, I mean, Matt's probably, quote-unquote, as you would say, you're going to say more of a strong safety in your vision of what those guys are. But also, safeties are more interchangeable nowadays. You can't just say one guy's down and one guy's back the whole time, because you're going to get predictable with your pressure package that Matt wants us to run. So, you know, they can't always know which guy's going to be the guy coming and which guy's going to be the guy high, because they know where the pressure's coming from. So they both got to be showing coverage on both sides and showing pressure on both sides. But also there can be an emphasis. One guy can be in the box a little more often. Another guy could be back a little more often. And we were that way with Ed a little bit more when Ed was here. So it just depends on who the safeties are. But I will say this, to your point, Matt is pretty darn good when he's running to the ball and making tackles. You know, I think that's definitely a strength for him, and he showed that toward the end of the year.
John, I know you're always involved with the fans, and the fans follow this. They may have been spoiled over the last few years, plus you gave them a Super Bowl. Any thoughts going forward about the fan base or comments for the 12th man up there?
Well, yeah, I mean, it's a great – thanks for bringing that up. We have great fans, you know. You go in other stadiums and the game starts and, you know, the stadium might be two-thirds full. You come in our stadium and the game starts and every seat is taken, you know. And when the introductions come out, you know, it's not just a polite applause. I mean, our fans are going crazy for our guys, you know, and coming up with nicknames for them and all that. And our fans want to win. You know, our fans want to – and they don't just want to win. They want to look good. They want to see good football. You know, they want to see people blocked and they want to see people stopped on third down. You know, they want to see turnovers. Our fans know football. And to me, that's, as a football coach, you couldn't dream of being in a better situation or a better place to coach than Baltimore, because you're working for fans that understand the game and they know what they're looking at. So when you know, as Jerry says, you get the criticism, hey, it's okay. You know, most of it is very well thought out and very fair, you know. Hey, as long as it doesn't get personal, you know, sometimes it gets personal, it does sting a little bit. And that's sometimes, that can be the tough thing, but that goes with the business, goes with the territory. It's you just live with it. But when it's football related, and it might be about time management, or it might be about deciding to go for it on fourth down, or are we really running the offense or the defense that we really need to run, or did we pressure enough in this game to get the pressure that Matt Venzel's talking about, you know. To me, those are the kind of conversations that you want to have, that you want to have as a football coach with your fans. And that's why I say I think you guys do a great job of connecting us to the fans and making that possible here in Baltimore. You know, maybe we're a small enough city where we can pull it off. You know, we can have a more intimate relationship that way with our fans. So it's just a great thing. It's a great place to coach for that reason.
John, I know there was no point that Joe come out of the game, but he took a lot of shots throughout, and you can see he was in pain. Let me, now that the season's over, were there any times during the season when you thought we might have to take him out?
Well, I give the same answer. I think the answer when I was asked the last time was just no. You know, and I can give you the same honest answer, no. You know, but it's not that you don't consider it, Jameson. It's not that I'm not watching it and considering where Joe's at. You know, every time I ask Joe how he's doing, he said, fine, I'm good, you know. And I know Joe well enough to understand what that means. You know, he's basically saying, I don't want to, you know, don't, I'm going to play. You know, you're not taking me out of the game. And if he was seriously hurt, he would let me know that too, if he couldn't go, if he couldn't perform. But if I see that, and if he says he's fine and I don't think he's performing, if it's really hindering him that much, then as a coach, it's your responsibility to pull him out. I didn't see that. I felt like he was our best chance, especially in the Cincinnati game. It looked like he was moving around pretty well. And, you know, so the answer is no, not any time do we consider that seriously.
John, Corey Graham was talking yesterday about the fact he wants to come back, but he said even if he's not back, you guys have a really strong group at corner now with how Jimmy came on this year, with how Lardarius, I guess, came on from the knee injury and how he came along during the course of the year. Hey, how much of a strength do you think that group of corners is, just with those two things.
Right, yeah. I mean, the corner position is a big strength for us. You know, that's something that we really like to hold together. You know, if we could keep Corey in the fold, you know, and Ozzy feels the same way, we're going to do everything we can to do it. You know, and if we can't because he's played so well. You know, maybe it'll be one of these deals. I mean, we wanted to keep Paul here. We wanted to keep Danielle here. You know, we've had a lot of guys over the years we wanted to keep here that we haven't been able to do it. But Corey would give us, if we can hold on to Corey, then we really don't have to do anything else at corner. We can go with the guys we've got because the rest of the guys are back, and even a young guy like Asa would be our fifth corner. So we'd be in good shape there. But if we lose Corey, then we're going to have to do something. We're going to have to add a corner to the mix, you know, for next year.
John, organizationally, how big of a priority is it to keep Dennis Pitta because of all the things he does for you? He showed some of that in the last game, but he's been back there.
Right. Well, it's harder for me to, you know, speak organizationally because I think we'll do that next week, you know, when you hear from Steve and Ozzy. They could probably answer that big picture question a little better. Football-wise, you know, Dennis is a really good player. You know, and like I said before, I'm not really interested in losing good players. So, as a coach, yeah, it's important.
I mean, John, when you hired Steve Spagnuolo back in the spring, you kind of said it would be his position would evolve as far as what he brought. Now that you've gone through the season, what did he bring to the defense that maybe you didn't have before or maybe a different wrinkle?
Right. Thanks. Well, you know, Steve, first of all, is a heck of a coach. And he contributed, you know, in a lot of ways that are going to be unseen ways. But I think if you ask Dean, I think Dean would tell you something along the lines of he's a big help to Dean as far as not so much building the package, but as far as studying opponents and providing a few ideas and some insights in that that were a little bit different than what we've had here in the past and contributed in that way. And I think Dean really came to appreciate, you know, Steve's role, you know, in the defensive room there a little bit. That was, you know, one thing about Steve is he's never threatening to anybody. He respects all the other coaches, and he just tried to help out where he could. I thought he got with some players here and there and did a really good job building relationships with those guys and giving those guys some insight as we went. And then the third part of it was what he did for me as a head coach. I mean, here's a former head coach that is on a day-to-day watching the operation and saying, hey, think about this. Did you look at that? Hey, you may want to talk to this guy. Or even during the game, you know, I went to him quite a bit in terms of, you know, hey, what do you think? You know, what would you do here? And it's just one more voice that has been down that road. You know, we've had some guys. Jim Caldwell's been in that room. Of course, you go to Dean. You know, we have a pretty open dialogue with our coaches, but that's a pretty strong voice who's been in those shoes before that you're asking that question, and it helps.
John, Joe said he just needs rest, nothing on his knee. Did you get out of this? I know every guy after 16, you know, games, I'm sure, is dealing with some stuff, but did you get out of the season pretty healthy, or are there some guys that might have to have some significant procedures done?
Yeah, Jeff, thanks. Probably should have mentioned that in the opening, but we got out of the season really healthy. I thought Mark Smith hey, sometimes injuries are fluke things. But I thought Mark did a really good job of managing our guys and not bringing anybody back too early, getting them back as soon as they could, but not too early, where they re-injured. We didn't have too many re-injuries, and that's huge. We'll have a couple things. Ladarius Webb is going to do something with a sports hernia that he's been fighting. And he did a nice job with that, you know, late in the season. And the big thing about sports hernia, if you know anything about it, it's just painful. And he did a good job. Jimmy had that last year and had this procedure during the season. And Webby's going to have it done after the season. And Gino has a knee issue that he's going to get cleaned up a little bit, get cleaned out, some cartilage cleaned out a little bit. And those are the only two things that I'm aware of right now, unless Kevin has something that I've missed that he can think of. But those are the two things. Yeah. So that's good. I mean, that's good news for our guys going into the off season.
In terms of Gino, how much progress did you see from him over the course of the season?
Who's that?
Gino.
Said
he grew a lot more comfortable making calls, reading defense, yeah. Things like that. What did you see?
Major progress in Gino as far as the communication part of it. Early in the season, you know, Gino would probably be the first to tell you that we had a lot of problems. You know, you go from Matt Burke that does everything, that makes every call, in some ways tells every lineman what to do in the heat of battle because he's so good, because you've got an offensive line coach basically in there playing center for you, to a, you know, a guy that's doing it for the first time. I think that was part of the reason that we didn't have a hat on a hat a lot of times early on, and that was a tough transition for us. And yet, Gino fights through it, and by the end of the year, he's making all those calls and doing a good job with that. So, really smart guy, huge student of the game. Juan gets him up in front of the room. Jim Caldwell gets him up in front of the room and has the centers do a lot of, so from a communication standpoint, talking to the guys in meetings and making sure we're on the same page with the calls before we get out there in the field. And I've watched a number of those meetings, and he just does a great job of it. So he's grown a lot, and something he should be able to build on.
John, as you talk to all your players for the final time, you know, for example, Vontae Leach yesterday said he was unhappy with his limited role this year. You probably get that from 53 different guys, how they want their role changed going forward. How do you weigh all that into your decision process, along with, you know, Ozzie and Steve, as who stays, who goes, and things of that nature? And, you know, is it something worth you to say, well, we're not going to change our offense because one guy wants a bigger role?
Yeah, it's probably right. You know, I'm trying to think of the best way to answer. There's no way we would say, okay, because a guy wants a role, we're going to do something we don't think is in our best interest to do. But would you ever want a player that didn't want more of a role? You know, it's kind of to your point. So that's something I think you balance every day with players. You know, Vontae's role changed when we moved the offense away from a two-back, you know, foundation early on. And the reason we got away from that, because it wasn't working. You know, we started off with a two-back foundation, and we couldn't run the ball well enough to base the offense on the run game. And I think we came to that realization. And we had to move away from it, which took Vontae off the field more. So, but he still played a critical role in terms of, you know, short yards and the different things he was out there, and he did a good job. So, but Vontae's biggest role this year probably was leadership standpoint. You know, he was a leader, and I would have loved to have had him on the field more, but it didn't play out that way. We planned on him being out there more, but it didn't play out that way.
Yeah, you had mentioned the pass rush and the red zone, but were there any points either during the season or in games where you felt the defense wore down some, or would you not agree with that?
You know, I don't know that I saw signs of our defense wearing down. I'd have to probably look at that. I haven't looked at it from that perspective. I didn't think of it in those terms. I thought our defense was pretty stout right to the end. The one drive was disappointing, but it wasn't really so much wearing down as they hit some plays on us, you know, and made some key third down conversions. You know, I was disappointed in the fact that we didn't have the quarterback defended on the backside of that belly play. You know, I was disappointed that they hit a little stop hitch out there for a conversion. Those are the things that showed up to me from more of an execution standpoint that, you know, if we'd have got off the field on that drive, I believe we'd have won the game. You know, now, is that true or not? Who knows? But it sure didn't help, you know, and I'm looking at it more from that standpoint probably. And I think, you know, our defense played. You look at statistically, you look at the numbers, that's what you do at the end of the year. You got to say, we were a good defense. You know, we were a really good defense. But our defensive coaches and our defensive players are going to tell you that that's not good enough. I mean, they want to be a top defense. One, maybe two, maybe three, when it's all said and done. That's the standard for the Ravens defense, and that's what we're going to chase.
John, you'll probably roll your eyes at this question. Majority of guys that you got rid of, you replaced. So Paul, you lose, you bring in Elvis. Danelle, you lose, you bring in Darryl Smith. Anquan was really the one that sticks out that you guys weren't able to replace. And I guess just in retrospect now, did that hurt at all throughout the course of the year, especially being without Dennis for as long as you were?
Right. Well, if we had been able to replace, you know, Anquan, then, you know, defensively we were able to replace those guys, and it showed up in the way we performed on defense, and you know, we probably weren't, you know, able to do that quite the same way with Anquan, unfortunately. So I don't know how to answer that question. You know, it is what it is. It's a fact. You know, you got a guy that was a big part of what we're doing, but it wasn't the only guy we lost. You know, there was a lot of guys we lost last year that were a big part of what we were doing, and that's probably going to be the case every single year. And as a coach, you just can't get caught up in that. You know, you can't look back. I mean, I'm talking to the fans here. You know, I'm watching guys that left here and watching them make plays for other teams. And, you know, of course, I'm thinking the same thing you're thinking. You know, man, it'd be great if he's making that play for our team. You know, it's human nature. You feel that way about it. And yet there were other guys that we added, you know, with the cap restrictions. You take the money and they go from one person to another person that we added, and those guys were making plays for us. You mentioned those guys, Elvis Dumervil being a great example, Chris Canty being another example. You know, there were guys that you know, we spent to the cap. You know, it's not like we didn't spend the money. So you just got to do the best you can in this salary cap era of being the strongest team you can for the money that you're allotted. And hopefully, you know, it works out. So that's really the reality of it.
John, can you explain the decision to keep Ray Rice in the sideline early in the game the other day, and
Yeah. Where do things stand with him going into next year?
Yeah, you know, I really can't explain that adequately right now, in all honesty. That was something that happened during the game that when I looked over and saw it, then I put him back in the game. So I don't have that answer for you right now. He should have been out there.
John, in terms of the red zone offense, easiest way to obviously use it to score, just be able to push people around, run the ball in there. Is there anything you would think about for the future, maybe even bigger backs or personnel to try to push the ball in there? And when I say big, I mean like 242, like a LeGarrette Blount type of guy.
Yeah, yes. You know, I think we need to diversify as much as we can, you know, our what guys can do. You know, I've had a lot of conversations with Ozzie and with Eric and our different scouts about that, and our coaches too. Yeah, we want to have as many weapons as we can at our disposal. And, you know, big backs, fast backs, quick backs, route running backs, you know, that you see around the league. We're going to chase all those guys. You can't always get everything you want. But, those are things that we could use. Anything else?
Can we assume you're a 49ers fan now?
You should. I'm a 49ers fan, yeah.
What are your New Year's plans?
When's New Year's?
Tonight.
That's tonight? Tonight's New Year's Eve?
Stop it.
Better call my wife. Maybe she's got something. Maybe she's got dinner maybe planned. I don't know. Maybe I'll get home for dinner for the first time in about 6 months. You know, we'll see. But thank you for everything you've done. And you've been great all year. I'm sorry that we didn't live up to that standard this year, but we will be back. Okay? Thanks.